should wake you up. If you are feeling a little drowsy, whether you're working, let's hope you're not feeling drowsy while you're driving. Maybe you're supposed to be awake because you've got some project that you have to finish, whatever the case. Or if you are waking up on your Friday morning, well, there's good news. I'm here and it's Friday if you're just waking up. I don't know how you do it. That's crazy. But there are people, a lot of people actually, who are awake at this hour, either getting ready at home to head to work or already on their way to work. I hear from a lot of people who make their drive at this hour and listen to us on CBS Sports Radio, one of our many hundreds, actually, of local affiliates, or on Sirius XM channel 158. You can also tune in on the brand new Odyssey app. I think they finally upgraded my photo from the one in 2014 to the one we took just a couple years ago. But if it's not, you can tell me. And then our CBS Sports Radio website. There are so many different ways that you can listen. If you dare have a smart speaker who eavesdrops on you in your home, well, you can tell your smart speaker to play After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. How about that? We're live, of course, from the Rocket Mortgage Studios, because if I didn't have to be live and I could be home sleeping, don't you think I would? No, I would not. I actually hate radio on tape. There were times in my career where they wanted me to, true story, my previous network, they wanted me to pre-record my show because that's what the regular host did, the guy that I was filling in for. And I actually begged them, I want to be in studio. I want to do the show live. And once I started doing that, they wouldn't let any other of the fill-in hosts do it anymore. And that guy that used to tape the show was out the door not that long after that because he didn't want to do the show live. So no, I'm all about the live experience, and so are you. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. I had to do it twice because I took a little tangent there in the middle. Thanks for hanging out with us. It is almost Friday for most of us now. So on Twitter, A-Law Radio, happy almost Friday. And then our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I hope that you enjoyed the Field of Dreams game. If you missed my conversation with Trent Rosecrans, he covers the Reds. He sat down with the Griffies, Ken Jr. and Ken Sr. before the game. He was out there on the field having a catch. It was a really nostalgic experience for him as a reporter, but also because he lost his dad earlier this year. So an emotional conversation with Trent. It's part of our podcast, afterhoursamielawrence.com. Maybe you weren't watching baseball, though. Maybe you were watching the start of the NFL preseason, week number one. We are 4 weeks away. And you know what that means? I mean, it means, do you know what it means? QB news.
Mahomes fires for the end zone. Caught. Touchdown, Kansas City.
Murray back to throw.
And it is. Is it caught? Is it caught? Oh, my goodness, it's caught. DeAndre Hopkins caught it.
He's got a man wide open. John Brown, he makes the catch. Touchdown, Buffalo. John Brown from Josh Allen.
Well, Lamar Jackson in the shotgun. Lob to the five. It is caught. Touchdown, Willie Snead.
Play fake by Russ.
Throws deep. Man wide open. It's Lockett. He's in. Touchdown, Seahawks.
Tannehill rolling, throwing. Touchdown, Titans.
Burrow back to pass. Throws into the end zone.
Yeah.
It's intended for Tyler Boyd.
Touchdown.
Touchdown. Yeah. Bengals.
It's time for QB News on After Hours.
A pair of games on Thursday evening, one taking place in New England, one taking place in Baltimore. And we had different strategies, of course. Teams approach week one in different ways because it's a brand new head coach for the New York Giants and a brand new offensive system, yet again, for one Daniel Jones and the offense. And because they've had a bunch of moving pieces, well, they decided to have their starters play the whole first quarter in New England. Did not result in any touchdowns, though there was a field goal after a drop touchdown pass on their opening drive. And Daniel Jones goes, let's see, what did he do? He was, essentially, he was 6 for 10 and had the two drives during the first quarter, in which there were some highlights, of course, but mostly it was just about getting a feel for Daboll's offense.
Hey. Felt good to get out here, and you know, it's always different being in a game situation, and picks up, the speed picks up a little bit, you go through the operation, and now the huddle, so thought it was good, some things to clean up, but felt good to be out here.
There was some good, and you know, some things we could have back. What was he, 6 of 10? You know, we threw a couple vertical plays there. They had a couple free runners relative to the protection. But I thought he operated the offense well. You let him down on the first drive. We stalled there in the red zone, and you know, good first start, but certainly things to clean up.
Then there was a whole lot of Tyrod Taylor, who actually had a touchdown. And it was good to see Saquon Barkley out there as well, a handful of carries, plus he caught a pass. New England started Brian Hoyer and then went with the rookie Bailey Zappi. And they actually, more interesting than who their quarterbacks were, the fact that they had Matt Patricia call plays for the first half and then switching to Joe Judge. Neither one of those guys were on the offensive side of the ball when they were with the Patriots previously before their head coaching tenure. So Bill Belichick is trying to keep the rest of the league guessing.
I covered it.
For the Baltimore Ravens, who were hosting the Tennessee Titans, we heard from Malik Willis last hour. They did not have Lamar Jackson on the field. Instead, it was Tyler Huntley who had a really, really strong performance. 16 of 18, actually, for 109 yards with a touchdown pass. And that's who John Harbaugh got to talk about.
Tyler played great. And his numbers were off the charts and really ran the offense well. We were really, his timing was really good in the passing game. I thought the O-line looked pretty good. Can't wait to see the tape tomorrow and see how the guys did.
But here's the deal. We do not give you scores from NFL preseason games because it does not matter. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Before the two games kicked off, and boy, did they look sweet on my TV. The big news from the NFL on Thursday, Tom Brady is taking a leave of absence. He will not be with the Buccaneers for over a week.
Tom has been excused today. He will be taken anywhere. He'll be back sometime around after Tennessee. He's going to deal with some personal things. This is something we talked about before training camp started. We allotted this time because he wanted to get in and get chemistry with the guys and go through 2 weeks of training camp, knowing he wasn't going to play the first two games. He didn't want to take away reps from Blaine and Kyle, and
he didn't want to
as
take
well
him
as
away.
Griff, as far as going into these next two games, and it's something he needs to handle. We trust him. We talked about it. It was scheduled way before training camp, and he will not be here until after Tennessee.
All I'll say is this was pre-planned. We talked about this. It predates, you know, camp starting, that he was going to wanted to take this time off that Todd talked about, and we, you know, of course, we're going to let him do what he needs to do. So he's focused as ever. He'll come back in even more focused, and we're not, it's the least of our concerns. You know, we're not worried about it. It's not a real big deal to us, him missing five practices. So we're just business as usual here.
That's Jason Light after Todd Bowles, new head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I have to keep reminding myself of that. I do miss Bruce Arians. Now, here's the funny part. He says that Brady wants the younger quarterbacks to get reps. I mean, that's dumb, right? He wants them to get reps. There's a lot of speculation about what's the reason for his absence, but also whether or not this is something that anyone should be concerned about, because Todd Bowles says he's dealing with some personal things. Now, the speculation in New England, which is really funny, why are they still speculating in New England? But the speculation in New England is that he had a vacation already planned with his family.
Sorry.
Back when he intended to retire, and that it would be a way for him to get his mind off football and what he was missing, training camp, preseason for the first time in 20 plus years, not being with his guys, by going on a vacation with his family, and that he did not feel comfortable canceling that vacation, even as his kids wanted him to go back and play another year with the Buccaneers. And so it reminded me of those situations where many of us have found ourselves in, that we take a new job, but we have a vacation already planned. It has to be a condition of an employment. Hey, I need to be able to take this time off. So I don't know about the personal things he's dealing with, but I suppose he'd be dealing with more personal things if he backed out of his family's vacation for the sake of NFL preseason.
I have no knowledge of anything.
Anything at all. Remember when your kindergarten teacher told you there's no such thing as a stupid question? Oh, she lied. Because someone actually asked Todd Bowles if Tom Brady will be starting the Buccaneers season opener.
And there's no doubt. Obviously, there's always going to be doubt, but I have a pretty high level of confidence, yes.
I love how Todd Bowles answers that, but he goes with his gut initially. There's no doubt. Oh, wait, obviously there's some doubt, but I have a high level of confidence. Okay.
And there's no doubt.
As long as Tom Brady is able to play football, he obvi will be starting week number one.
Obviously, there's always going to be doubt.
Who asked that question? What is that about? He wanted Blaine Gabbert to get some extra reps. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Okay, staying in the NFC South, we've got a brand new quarterback for the Atlanta Falcons. Not unknown to their head coach, of course, Arthur Smith, who took that job from Tennessee where Marcus Mariota was playing before he took the job. Well, actually, he was in Oakland, then Vegas. Now he's in Atlanta, but he's got a pre-established relationship with coach. Now he's got a hot-to-trot, impressive tight end, and Kyle Pitts is working on that relationship with Marcus.
It's awesome. You know, right when the first day me and Marcus met, it was on the golf course. So me and him golfed a couple of times, and it was good to, you know, spend that time with him before we started coming out here running routes and things like that. So, you know, our relationship was growing, and, I feel like it's going in the right direction.
I'm really excited to see what Kyle Pitts can do in his second season with the Falcons. Everybody knows who he is. Everybody knows that he is an object of desire, especially if you're Marcus Mariota and you're trying to move the chains. He's only 21 years old, but last year had a 1,000-yard season, did just have the one touchdown. But you could imagine with there being no Calvin Ridley, with the fact that Marcus Mariota is a new quarterback, and you want to go with high percentage plays, Kyle Pitts is about as high percentage as it gets. And so let's see what he does for his sophomore season. For those of you who were with us last night, and I know producer Jay missed it, but I tried to explain to him how Lindsay Rhodes was giving me tips for fantasy football. And I confessed to her that I'm a Travis Kelce girl. So regardless of what round it is, if he's still available, I draft Travis Kelce. And she was trying to talk me down off of that wall. Amy, until we realized that we were in the same league last year and didn't know it. And then she's like, yes, draft a quarterback in the first round. Draft Travis Kelce as soon as he's available. Oh my gosh, we were cracking up. We were sending texts back and forth today when we again confirmed that we were in the same fantasy football league last year. I didn't win. I was in the consolation bracket, so I don't know how she did. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. There was a reporter in D.C. for 7 News D.C. that trotted up to Carson Wentz and said, hey, did you know people are talking about how you look terrible in training camp?
I didn't know that, so thank you.
Yep. But I know you told me you don't read that stuff.
At the same time, I'm my biggest critic. So I come back after practice, yeah, and I'm kicking myself over 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 plays, you know. But at the same time, they're usually things we can learn from. They're usually like, okay, this is what I was seeing. This is what I was feeling. Then go talk to the receiver. Hey, Terry, what were you feeling on that one? Maybe shutting it down in that zone or ripping through that zone, different things that opens up conversations. So I'm definitely bummed when I miss them, but at the same time, let's use them as learning opportunities because it is a lot of our first time together. You know, there's been OTAs, there's things, but a lot of it is new and the more or less live reps against our defense, just seeing things differently. So trying to be as clean as I can be. It hasn't been perfect by any means, and I can continue to get better, and I will. But at the same time, I try not to beat myself up over it and just say, hey, how can we learn from it so that it doesn't happen the next time, but especially on Sundays this year.
Once again on 7 News in D.C., I hate the idea that people are burying quarterbacks based on what they see in the training camp sessions and in preseason. That's just dumb. Come on. The fact that we're even tweeting stats from a training camp, to me, is... It's information that goes nowhere. There's nothing you can make of that, really. Because even if a guy goes 17 for 17 in a training camp practice, it says nothing. You're going against guys who theoretically already know what you're doing. And let's not forget, quarterbacks are wearing red freaking jerseys. Come on now, it's not real football. So let's see what Carson Wentz does to start out the season. I don't know that I have high hopes for him, but I mean, come on, who cares what he's doing in training camp? He talked about not beating himself up. Well, that's one thing that Aaron Rodgers will definitely not be doing, at least modern-day Aaron Rodgers. On SiriusXM NFL Radio, he was asked about the difference between himself as a rookie and himself in year 18.
What I've been learning and working on, and it's hard, is to just be more gentle with myself.
Oh,
I think it's so easy for us to criticize ourselves and judge ourselves and hold ourselves to some perfect standard that's unrealistic instead of, you know, celebrating the things that we have and counting our blessings and living with gratitude. And it took me a long, long time, and it's still something I'm working on. And so I would just tell that young kid, be gentle with yourself. You love this game for a reason. You sat there on the carpet when you were 5 years old and watched Joe Montana. You're living out your dream. Smell the roses a little bit. Be gentle with yourself. Things are going to turn out okay if you keep working hard. You're not going to help yourself. You're going to set yourself back years and years of rewiring old patterns and conditioning and therapy needed to, you know, to unlearn some of the things. You know, that served you at different times during your childhood or life that don't serve you anymore. And there's going to be a lot of heartache associated with some of those patterns. So the easiest way to kind of get through those times is to be a little bit more gentle with yourself.
Okay.
Box breathing.
I only want to hear him talk about football, but I do appreciate the life lessons from Aaron Rodgers, I suppose. Hey, coming up later this hour, in fact, 20-ish minutes from now, what Jay missed while he was in jail, so to speak, over the last 9 days. That's what he gets for deserting me. I'm just going to tell everyone he was behind bars in the slammer. Anyway, Aaron Rodgers is definitely part of what Jay missed while he was gone. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. That's Aaron on SiriusXM NFL Radio. Also in the NFC, Kyle Shanahan is raving about what he sees in his second-year QB, but first-year starter, Trey Lance.
The guy can handle it. You know, it's you can act like it's not a big deal, but when you go to OTAs, I mean, I'm not talking about fans and stuff. It's all the players watching you. We got a confident team, and we got guys on our team who have high expectations, and they want to do a lot with this year. And so they're going to be looking at the quarterback too. And it's been fun just to watch him go out there, handle himself the right way every day, focus on working and getting better, not trying to earn respect with just BSing people or anything like that. He's trying to earn it by going to work, and I think the guys have rallied around him in that way, and I think he's going to be a part of a real good team.
We know there is no quarterback competition in San Francisco. It's Trey Lance, and then it's Jimmy Garoppolo, unless they cut him before the first game, which they might do, or they'll end up paying all of that salary. There is a quarterback competition in Pittsburgh.
Mike, will Mitch start?
Yes.
And then will you go? And then the other two, you don't know the order of those guys?
It's probably the way it's played out here to this point. Like I mentioned to you guys, I wasn't going to be blowing in the wind regarding the quarterback rotation. We've been thoughtful about giving guys an opportunity to work in different groups. But our intentions are to play them this first time out very much the way we started this process.
Also in what Jay missed, Mike Tomlin, a word that I've never heard any other coach use in my entire career covering the NFL. Tyreek Hill, well, he loves himself some Dolphins offense. He is Tua's hype man. He's Tua's wingman and Tua's hype man.
The sky's the limit for this team. You know, obviously, like, this team is very young, you know, still learning. But each and every day is a climb. Like I tell the guys, you know, man, look, man, we can't get comfortable with how we perform today, you know, because we can have a great day today. Like, so we can't come back tomorrow and then slack off a little bit. We got to continue to build on top of those days and continue to grind each and every day until we get to where we want to be. And in my head, we'll never get there, dog, because we're trying to reach a certain level where no team in the world, the world can mess with the Miami Dolphins offense. Oh, or the defense, too. So that's how we roll.
Josina Anderson with Tyreek Hill on CBS Sports HQ. Our friend Josina covering Dolphins camp. Now, they had this pretty funny exchange about Tyreek comparing his relationship with Tua to the marriage of Dennis Rodman and Carmen Electra.
You know, though, that their marriage only lasted 9 days. So is that the appropriate analogy, or should it be more like Jay-Z, Beyonce?
Nah, I feel like Jay-Z and Beyonce relationship ain't real, man. It's all a, I don't know the word I'm looking for. It's all a propaganda, but
propaganda.
I feel like
you it know, might be
Karma and Electra and Dennis Rodman.
They had something real for 9 days.
They had something real for 9 days, man. You know.
Okay. So. All right, but you know.
It was more intimate, so.
Oh, it was more intimate. I don't know how you know these details, but maybe you can just.
I have a source.
Oh, you have a source.
I have a special source.
Okay, I know something about sources as an NFL insider. I don't know if you're an NFL outsider with that information, but.
Come on, it needed to be said.
I finally agree with something that Tyreek Hill says since he left Kansas City, and that is, it's propaganda for Beyonce and Jay-Z. It was a career move for them to stay together.
I don't know about you, but that looked like money.
CBS Sports HQ. I admire the way that Tua has handled everything that's been thrown at him in his pro career, but the football is coming, baby. So, Josina, Tyreek Hill, Tua, everything else, part of QB News. I can't wait for what Jay missed, though, because we've got a little more of the QB chatter that's coming up, not our next segment, but after the update at the bottom of the hour. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Happy Friday to you. If you're waking up, oh, come on, shake out the cobwebs. It's nearly a summer weekend. Woo! It's CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast. Here on After Hours, we like you as much as you like us.
Thanks for taking my call. I've been listening to you for a long time. I love your insight.
What's up, Amy?
What up?
First time, long time.
Awesome, thank you.
Amy, good morning. Thanks for always taking my call. I really appreciate it. You and your staff are very accommodating.
Hi, Amy. Thanks for taking the time for my call.
Long time listener, first time caller. First one to say, love your show.
I am an Amy fan.
Very creative, Kai.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence. With somebody who loves me. Oh, I wanna dance with somebody. I wanna feel the heat. Yeah, I wanna dance with somebody. With somebody who loves me.
As part of Ask Amy Anything, someone posed the question of which band would you like to go back and see play in their prime if you could? If you could be transported via a time machine to another era. Wasn't a different era necessarily, though it certainly would go a few years back. And I'm honestly cannot remember my answer. My answer was, I know what my answer was. So I initially thought the Beatles, and then just out of principle, because that was my mom's music, but I had two college roommates who played the Beatles incessantly and drove me up a wall. I was never a Beatles fan. I now understand their place in history. I can appreciate what they were and who they were, but I've just never been a fan. That's not my kind of music. So I initially remarked Beatles because of the experience, and then I decided U2, because I just think they're amazing. And I was once in Ireland, in Dublin, when U2 was getting ready to play a concert, and the place was electric. The entire city was buzzing about the upcoming weekend because they were back in Ireland to play. But now I wish I had said Whitney Houston to be able to go back and watch her in concert. That would have been amazing. Probably one of those experiences that you talk about for years and years and years, and are just so thankful that you had that chance to do it. Maybe feel the same way about a cornfield in Iowa. I don't know if I'll ever get there, whether as a fan of the movie or to watch a baseball game, but I feel like Major League Baseball has hit a home run, in a manner of speaking, struck it rich, essentially, with these games on the Field of Dreams field in Dyersville, Iowa. Awesome. I loved it. I didn't have a chance to watch last year's live. I had to go back and watch it on tape. I don't remember where I was. I think I might have been with my family or something along those lines. But I just know that it's even better. Now, it reminds me a little bit of having outdoor hockey games at some of the various venues like Fenway Park or Lake Tahoe. And, you know, they create the field, but it's obviously out of its normal setting. And they put it in these incredible locations where you would never have expected to see hockey before. And so, and they're outdoors too. Now that creates its own set of problems. And certainly to have a Major League Baseball game on a field like this with these dimensions and only 7,800 fans, I mean, it's perfect. And yet it's got its own challenges, but I hope they continue forward with it. I just know that next year it won't happen because the field will be under construction. Boo. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Should I be taking? Okay, so I want to make sure we don't run too late because the next segment coming up is appropriately titled What Jay Missed. I'm sure we missed a lot, the fact that we were not on vacation like Jay was. And so he had a great time. I've heard all about it. It was awesome. Good for him and his family. But he doesn't understand what he missed when he was not here. So this is something that we may have to do moving forward, which actually I'll be gone for not quite a week, but pretty close to a week before football starts. So you may have to do it yourself and keep up with what Amy missed.
I'm thinking this is a new thing.
It's a new thing. Except I have selected the audio myself and Jay has not heard it. And so it's all going to be organic. And we're not talking about boring, kind of standard sports headlines because sports never stop. They'll always be around. No, these are the types of audio cuts that may land our subjects in the After Hours Hall of Fame, which, Jay, we need to do at least one more induction before the football season actually kicks off. So you can actually help me narrow down the field by listening to the upcoming audio. What Jay missed and what will make you laugh, even if you didn't miss it. That's straight ahead here on what is now a Friday morning for most of us. He sounds like a peacock. You didn't miss that. Stop it. Stop trying to steal my thunder. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast. This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
This is a new feature that we're going to call What Jay Missed While He Was in Jail. No. He wasn't in jail. He was on vacation. I'm just mad that he left me for so long. So because of that, I'm telling everyone he was in jail. I'm happy he had a nice vacation, but he was checked out. That's all I will say is he was completely checked out to the point where I really didn't know if he was in jail. I actually was wondering there for a while. So he was not in the United States of America. There was a very real chance he could have ended up in jail. But he and his family, they evaded all captors in captivity, and they remained at large. So they're now back.
Made it out.
You did, thankfully. Whew, because I did not want to have to replace you on our one-year anniversary. That would have sucked. Mostly because I'm not in the mood to train another producer, as the last week would indicate, yes. Hey, I'm pretty sure that what you said earlier is about the same thing that I just said. If you missed it, Jay said earlier that the number one thing he missed while he was in jail, etc., is YouTube and being able to check his YouTube numbers.
You know that's my baby.
Yes. So if I tell you that the only reason why or the worst thing about Jay being detained across the pond is that I would have to train another producer, well, trust me, he deserves all of that, like all of it. And then once we turned off the microphones, he tried to tell me that that wasn't really the case. And I gave him the big old okay sign because I know whenever he talks about YouTube, his eyes light up.
All right. I guess those two things I missed.
Right. You missed the fact that I bring you snacks and True. The fact that you were unable to check your YouTube numbers while you were gone.
That kind of sums it.
It really does. I mean, see what I'm saying? Do you see what I'm working with here? On our 1 year, about to be our 1 year anniversary, this is how I get treated, as if I'm inconsequential, even though I held down the fort pretty damn well without him. So, not sure what that says about you, but I'm not even sure anyone noticed you were gone, really.
I wouldn't doubt it. You did such a great job. Obviously. There was no doubt in my mind.
Obviously. Like you even know. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. He had no idea who I was before he started working on the show. And when he's gone, he will forget all about us here. We're still going to be here. Actually, I'm leaving him next week because I'm going to be doing two daytime shows. Wah, wah, wah. Please do not tune in to watch me on TV is all I'm saying. In fact, I'm not even going to mention it. It's not on TV. Not going to be on TV. No, you're not.
Absolutely.
Jay, you are not. You sit across from me every single night except for when you go away. So you already know what I look like when I do a radio show. You do not need to watch it on TV.
I do. I've never seen you in that medium.
Yes, you have. You watched me do a basketball game this winter.
Oh, yeah, that is true. I did watch you do a basketball game live.
Oh, my gosh.
That was cool, though. You killed it, so you did really well.
That's because you're only on camera for 90 seconds
of each half. No, you have screen time. You're overthinking the screen time. You're good on TV, I'm telling you.
You're the only reason that I ever do YouTube videos.
And do them well.
I don't know about that. But anyway, I am doing Maggie and Perloff's show next week, Monday and Tuesday. And so if you are going to be awake on Monday and Tuesday, or you would like to record it or check out the podcast, whatevs. It'll be noon Pacific, so noon to 3 Pacific. It'll be 3 to 6 Eastern. I'm following Jim Rome, which is kind of funny. Anyway, that's where I'll be next week. So now I'm leaving Jay in my dust. Eat my dust.
I suppose it's fair, right?
It is fair, especially fair when I have a vacation at the end of the month and I don't communicate with you for an entire week. I am. I cannot wait. I'm so excited.
Cannot wait to leave me again. Nice.
I think you deserve that. Okay, here's what Jay missed while he was gone. First of all, let me tell you, you have not seen the first episode of Hard Knocks, right?
No, have not seen it.
So the Detroit Lions made their debut on Hard Knocks. I already demanded that Jay go and watch the video that has now been seen by nearly 5 million people. Well, 5 million views. He watched it while we were on the phone on Thursday afternoon. And he agrees with me that it's fantastic. And this is Aiden Hutchinson, the Lions rookie, singing Billie Jean from Michael Jackson in front of the team room and the entire team erupting when it gets to the chorus. It is,
I check all the boxes.
So great. It's awesome because that's what we love about team sports, right? We love the camaraderie. I love to see these guys go all in for their rookie who's making a fool out of himself in front of the team room. So that's great. If you haven't seen it, it's on my Twitter, A-Law Radio. When I first discovered it, it had 1.4 million views. Now it's closing in on 5 million views. So safe to say Aiden Hutchinson will be answering a lot of questions about Billie Jean. But Hard Knocks is underway. You missed Jamal Williams and the speech he delivered to his team on Hard Knocks. He stole the show.
I'm gonna let y'all know, man, today is the minimum of effort. Do not give up. Do not feel like you're tired. Were you tired? Think of last year and think of that f-ing record. Every time I get tired or I think I can't go no more, I think of that f-ing record. Last year wasn't it. That ain't us. We can make it. Have some heart. I get emotional about this. I'm about to cry because I care about y'all.
No.
Do your best. Let's go. Lions on three. 1, 2, 3. Lions.
I can't tell if they're laughing at him or if they're on board with him, but Jamal Williams, right off the top, he's about to cry over their 3-13-1 record last season. So what do you think, Jay? Is that potential for Hall of Fame?
I think absolutely. With the amount of voice cracks in there and just the fact at the end there where he's literally about to cry and the team just goes, Lions. Like, I have a little bit more enthusiasm. The guy's pouring his heart out for you on the field. Come on.
It is no surprise, though, that he feels as emotional as he does when the example he has to follow is his head coach, Dan Campbell.
I swear to God, I'm not a lunatic. I swear to you. And if I absolutely knew we could get to where we need to get without ever putting pads on, I'd do it, I swear to you. All I think about is you guys. That's all I think about, man. That's all I think about is you guys and how I set you up for the best possible advantage I can give you to have a season, I swear to you, man. I just need you to trust me, that's all. Doesn't matter if you have one ass cheek and three toes, I will beat your ass.
Now, see, here's what you missed that I can't actually bring back audio-wise because it's just, it was in the moment. A discussion about anyone at all out there on the entire planet who only has one ass cheek. Do you know anyone who only has one ass cheek? Because in my experience, you have zero ass cheeks or you have two or more ass cheeks, but there's no one in the world who has one ass cheek.
Could you function with one ass cheek?
Well, I don't sure. Think it's what worse. Happens, you know, there's people actually who get their asses plumped. What's that called?
Excuse
it's like,
me?
It's, well, you know, it's plastic surgery.
Oh, there okay, are I some got you. Like who, Kim Kardashian or like that?
Is that what she did?
I don't know. Okay. Probably.
They something. Have silicone put in their ass cheeks. Or silicone put in place of their ass cheeks. And so I suppose if it went really wrong and one of the silicone bags had to be removed, that you could, in fact, walk around with one ass cheek.
I don't know.
Do you know anyone who...
You have to get that fixed.
Do you know anyone who's had one ass cheek removed?
I don't. I really don't. But even if I did, I don't feel like that's something I wouldn't really tell anybody.
So Erica, I feel like it'd be pretty noticeable. So Erica and I decided that from now on, we're checking. Everywhere we go, we're checking everyone's ass cheeks.
Like just visual checking?
Yeah, we're checking.
Just
don't
lump there in the
jean. Just don't get caught checking. That's all we're saying. It's like we're trying to find the one person on planet Earth who only has one ass cheek.
That's a noble quest.
It is.
And
thank you.
I applaud it.
All right. So moving from Dan Campbell, who, as I say, on Hard Knocks also is setting himself up to be in the After Hours Hall of Fame. How about in the same division, the NFC North, Aaron Rodgers with a revelation or two on the Aubrey Marcus podcast?
I'd heard about ayahuasca, and, you know, I think there's so many myths and rumors about it. The fear around it is you're going to f*** yourself. It's just a big throw-up fest.
Ew. Both not completely untrue.
Right, but all these, but the negative framework sure. of it is that that is the experience, not the deep and meaningful and crazy mind-expanding possibilities. And
it's
also
so weird.
Deep self-love and healing that can happen on the other side. For me, I didn't do that and think, oh, I'm never playing football again. No, it gave me a deep and meaningful appreciation for life. I had a magical experience with the sensation of feeling 100 different hands on my body, imparting a blessing of love and forgiveness for myself and gratitude for this life from what seemed to be my ancestors. I really feel like that set me on my course to be able to go back in to my job and have
Did
a different perspective on things,
uh-huh.
to be way more free at work, as a leader, as a teammate, as a friend, as a lover.
Oh.
I really feel like that experience paved the way for me to have the best season of my career.
Now, this is what you missed. The NFL was listening to the show, Jay. While you were gone, the NFL was listening. Because I broached the question of, if Aaron Rodgers says that psychedelic drugs in the form of this ayahuasca allowed him to play the best season of his career, could they, in fact, be investigating ayahuasca as a performance-enhancing drug? Do you know the very next day, hours later, NFL spokesperson Brian McCarthy comes out and says, we will not be investigating Aaron Rodgers for PEDs or recreational drugs. He squashed that. So I'm telling you, they were listening to the show. You missed it. The NFL was paying attention to the show.
I'll be honest, listening to that, at first I didn't really think it was a real cut. I thought it was like one of those computer voice generated Aaron
nope.
Rodgers things. He actually said that?
Yes,
that's
he
him.
Did. He said it paved the way for him to have the best season of his
about?
Career. Also, I'm pretty sure that when I ask for forgiveness, I will accept it from people without their hands.
100 hands touching his body.
Yeah, I'm good. I don't need people to be handsy to let me know that they've forgiven me. No, thank you. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Here's what Jay missed while he was gone. Mike Tomlin, he came up with a new word to describe his quarterbacks. He's got three of them now competing for that starting job.
They've all remained viable. they're making it difficult for us. It's tough to manage three capable guys.
Viable.
But they're forcing us to do it because they're making the necessary plays. They're anticipating. The timing has been good. The accuracy has been good. Mitch's silver bullet, if you will, is his fluidity and mobility. He's a really good athlete.
So
Rudolph
good.
Throws a really good deep ball.
Okay. We got to go quickly because the next one can't be missed. But you can never go away when Mike Tomlin might be dropping gems like all three quarterbacks are viable.
It gives you that tingle.
It definitely does. Thank you, Mike Tomlin. All right, last one, and this is at the introduction of Rob Walton and his daughter-in-law. I'm sorry, his daughter and his brother, or son-in-law, excuse me, as the new owners of the Denver Broncos, and he dropped this gem in his opening remarks.
Thank you, everybody. It's great to see you today, and I'd like to thank Roger Goodell, Commissioner Goodell. We're just so excited to become officially a part of the Broncos. It's a big, big day for us. Really, really exciting. Thank you, everybody. It's great to see you today, and I'd like to thank Roger Goodell, Commissioner Goodell. We're just so excited to become officially a part of the Broncos. It's a big, big day for us. Really, really exciting.
You can't do that.
It's payback for all the times that Roger Goodell mispronounced names when he was on stage for the NFL draft. Marcus Mariota.
The Tennessee Titans select Marcus Mariota.
Roger Goodell. So good. See, now this is what happens when you go away. All of that you missed. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.